The first time I ever visited Nova Scotia, I was told that Nova Scotians are kind and generous people who care about their community. And I think most of us would say the same about a place they call home, so maybe I didn't trust it 100%. I mean, I am biased about all the places that I ever called home. But after I moved here and I was the one that called Nova Scotia home, I was proven right again and again about how much people care about our beautiful province, how helpful they are to their community. And then I started working at the Nova Scotia SPCA, and I keep meeting people who are the definition of kindness. The number of times I hear it's the least I can do after saying a thank you for their donations, their time and talents, it's amazing and inspiring. So, podcast listeners, our guest is another person who keeps showing us how much community and giving back means to Nova Scotians. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Nova Scotia SPCA podcast. My name is Paula, and I'll be your host for today. If you're new here, welcome, and we're so happy that you're here with us today. And if you're an OG listener, welcome back. Kara Boston, passport member, donor, volunteer, pet lover, and the list keeps growing. But I think it's better that we learn about Kara from her. Hi, Kara. Thank you so much for being with us today. How are you?
Oh, good. Hi, Paula. I'm good. What day is today? Wednesday. So we're midweek, and I guess we're recording this for Sunday, this Sunday. So yeah, I'm good. It's hump day.
That is true. That is true. Well, before we get to the good stuff, we have a little game called Go Fetch. It's a fast, fun lighting round to kind of get us into the groove. I don't know how many people still say groove, but it's been a word that I've keep using for the past week or so. Now, if you're in the room with me, I'd be throwing this squeaky ball. It's also a good thing you're not, because I am a horrible thrower. But here go. Oh, that was loud. Okay, number one, pretty easy. Who was your first pet?
My first pet was a cat named, we named her Mittens. Unfortunately, we didn't have her for very long. We lived on a very busy road. I was very young. I think I was only, probably 5 or 6 years old. And we think that she got hit by a car because one day she just didn't come back. So yeah, she was my first pet, but ever since I was young, I've always loved animals. And even though we didn't have her for long, I was always trying to convince my parents that we needed another pet, and I really, really wanted a dog. So eventually we did get a dog when I got a little bit older, but yeah, Mittens, the cat, was my first pet.
It's funny because I was the opposite. My first pet was a dog, and then as I grew up, I begged for a cat.
Okay, really? Wow, yeah. You must be a cat person.
I can't say that. I can say
Yeah,
that. I have
I guess
both
that's
a cat and a
that
dog. We can't do that.
It is out there, though. That's how people do define themselves a lot of times.
That is true.
Yeah,
That is true. If animals could talk, who do you think would be the nicest?
the nicest. That's a really tough one. I don't know. I guess I just kind of see all animals as being innately good because they just are who they are. They're not really bogged down by societies and, where and who they live with. So I think that, all animals are nice. And then if they have to be mean, then I think, sometimes they are like that to survive, I guess, at the end of the day.
Wow, that is the first time we've had that answer on the podcast. But that was a very nice answer. Now I don't know if I should ask the next question, which usually is, if animals could talk, who do you think would be the rudest?
I can't. I don't want to put any animal in some box and say, "Oh, you're rude or you're nice." I just can't do it. I'm sorry.
Well, that's fair. There's a first time for everything, and this would be the first time for that. Now, you're a real champion for pets, so who's your hero?
My hero, again, this is a tough one. Like, I've never really grown up thinking, oh, there's someone that I aspire to be like, or, have really followed. I mean, I can tell you there's, people and things that people have done over time that have really kind of, I've thought, wow, I wish, that I could do something like that. Recently, I mean, I guess I'll just bring up something a little bit more recent. I noticed online this group out of the US called the Asher House. And it was started by a guy named Lee Asher. And basically, it's a rescue. And he is rescuing lots and lots of animals, not just mostly dogs and cats. But they also have other animals as well that they rescue, and they've built this huge sanctuary. But I just think to myself, like, I don't know his whole story, but I do know that he quit his job and, kind of in the financial world to start this rescue called the Asher House. And I follow some of his postings, and I just sometimes say to myself, like, I wish that I could be that motivated. Like, that's really motivation to just quit your job and this to become like your whole life. So I would say that, I don't have one hero, but I would say that people that are able to do something like that, just to walk away from their life in a certain sense, and to take on a dream and to just really put all their energy there, I just say, wow, like, I wish that I could do that.
That is a beautiful answer and very inspiring. I feel like this whole episode will be very much like that. Well, folks, there you have it. That was the whole interview. No, we're joking. We're just getting into the good stuff and starting this episode. Well, Kara, we'd love to know a little bit more about yourself. So why don't you tell our listeners who is Kara?
Who is Kara? Yeah, that's always a tough one, isn't it? To like to kind of define and really know who we are. I guess I would say first and foremost, I'm an animal lover. It's not really just about dogs or cats for me. I mean, I do love animals, nature in general. I always want the best, for that part of the cycle or the chain of life, the animals. I would say as well that what I think is important too is people understanding your comfort level with the spotlight. So I would say I'm probably a combination of an introvert and an extrovert. I think I looked it up before getting on this podcast, and I think they call it an ambivert, I think is what it's called. So I guess, I find it really easy to be at home with myself and with my dogs, with my family, or just even by myself. Of course, I have two dogs, so I love having them with me, all the time. And I find that I'm totally comfortable with that. But if I do need to step up, like when I was on the board of directors for the SPCA, I could bring my extrovert side to the table and maybe take on more of a leadership role in certain aspects of what we were doing with the SPCA. And I can be an extrovert in my job, and even in other settings, I can be an extrovert. So I'd say I'm a combination of both. the other big thing about me, I think, is my go-to is I'm a problem solver. That's something that, I don't know, if someone talks to me about something, I'm automatically thinking, so is there a problem here and how can I solve it? sometimes, I don't know, maybe that can be a positive. Sometimes it can be a negative. Because I know my partner, he often says, I don't need you to solve this for me. So I don't know, maybe then it's a negative. I'm genuine. I'm a very genuine person. I usually say it like it is. Sometimes I'm a little bit too say it like it is in the way that I respond to things. You know, I've been told that people can always expect to get the truth from me. You know, even sometimes if it's hard to hear, you know, I'm pretty straightforward. I'm a financial advisor. You know, that's the majority of my world. Mm-hmm. I have my own practice. So I'm always thinking about money. You know, unfortunately, you can't, you know, what you do for 8 hours or more of the day, you can't just leave it behind. But yeah, definitely, I guess the last thing I would say is I'm someone who really struggles with balance, you know, trying to balance, you know, what's thrown at us in our world today, which is the work-life balance. That's who I would say I am.
No, that is a fantastic answer. Each time somebody asks me that, I'm like, I don't know who I am, and I forget every single thing I've ever done in this life. And I can relate a little bit to being that introvert, extrovert. I have brought my extrovert aside today for this.
Yeah.
Getting on that energy, and then we'll see after this.
That's right.
Can you share a little bit about how you first got involved with the SPCA, kind of like how long ago you started and some of the ways that you've helped us?
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting up there in age. I'm 53. So my memory is not the best as to exactly when I got involved with the SPCA. I mean, it's always kind of been, I guess for the most part, I've always known about the SPCA and some of the work that it's done. I mean, as far back as I can remember, like I said, my memory I find is not necessarily that great these days. But I did adopt a puppy, a black lab puppy from the SPCA. I was even trying to remember what year it was that I adopted him. His name was Cooper. He was named Crackle when I first got him because there was three black lab puppies and they named them after the Rice Krispie guys. I don't know, Snap, Crackle, and Pop.
So sweet.
But yeah, so I adopted, I renamed him Cooper because I didn't really like the name Crackle. And I adopted him from the SPCA in Yarmouth. And that would have been before 2014. I think that was actually in 2011 that I adopted him. He's since passed away, unfortunately, but you know, that's kind of the real first kind of, I guess, connection I had with mm-hmm. dealing with the SPCA. And then, you know, I've always, like I said, had them in the back of my mind just because, I don't know, cruelty to animals, I guess, is one thing that's always top of mind to me. So I was always aware of a lot of the work the SPCA is doing, and that's really changed over time. And then in 2014, I got involved. I put my application in for the board of directors because I know they had a call. They were looking for another director. And so I put my application in and I was selected to be on the board. So I worked on the board for 8 years, and then when my term was finished, and I was no, because they do limit how long you can stay on the board, I left the board, and I've really honestly just been following the SPCA on a regular basis, and I continue to donate you know, financially to the SPCA on a monthly basis. I haven't been directly involved since my time on the board, but I do always, you know, keep abreast of all the different things that the SPCA is doing, for sure.
Well, we are very thankful for every little bit that you've helped us with. And that is a long time. I mean, it is 2024. I don't do math in day to day, so that seems like a long time, just in general. But again, so many years. Do you have a favorite memory so far with us, or if there's been like one project that maybe we've worked on as an organization that stayed with you to this day?
I wouldn't say necessarily one project. I mean, there's a couple things I would say. I mean, being on the board, something that it really changed for me is that I found it really allowed me to see inside of the SPCA mm-hmm. and really understand better what they're doing and, you know, what their mission is and the different projects that they're taking on. I find when you're on the outside, you know, like when you're not on the board or maybe not volunteering, I don't find that you really have a great it's hard to have a great understanding of what's really going on. So that in itself was something that I really enjoyed, is kind of understanding these projects from the ground up. Was there one project? I wouldn't say there was. I mean, I definitely found it was nice. One of the committees that I was on within the board was to hire new board members when certain people need to come off. We had a committee of three, and at the time, over the years, we had to interview people that had put in their applications, just like I had back in 2014. And I found that that was a nice feeling to really get to know people who were truly interested in being part of the SPCA and making a difference on the board and kind of different ways that they think. So I did really enjoy that part of, you know, being on the SPCA, bringing more people into the fold, I guess. And yeah, but just being a part of it, like being on the inside, was something that I found really made a difference, because I find people know that I was on the board, and a lot of people will reach out to me, like friends. They might say, oh, do you know where I can go to find this? Or what do you think about this, if it's something to do with the SPCA? And I can actually provide some real insight, where, you know, it's difficult if you're just in the community and just kind of looking at what you see on the outside. So I would say that would be, you know, my comment to that question.
No, that is great. And I can echo that. Since I've started working here, I've had friends and people finding out and asking questions about how they can help, knowing that I have that insight into the organization. So it's always great to be able to do that and to meet other people, I think, through that type of work, that want to be involved and get inspired by others.
For sure.
It has been an inspiring journey. For sure. There's so many ways that we can help our furry friends here at the SPCA. And one of the ways you're doing it, and you mention it, is by being a monthly donor. Why do you believe that monthly giving is so important?
Well, I guess, you know, because going back to kind of who is Kara, I mean, first and foremost, I'm an animal lover. You know, I feel that I've done well, you know, throughout my life. I don't have children. I have dogs, but not children. I've never had children. I've always worked in the financial industry. So for me, I guess I just felt that it was important to give something. And if I can't give my time, you know, then maybe your time is not always available. I just felt it was important that I was doing something. And so the monthly giving was allowing me, when I first started, you know, monthly giving, that's what it was allowing me to do, is participate in the lives of animals who need it, without me actually being there and, you know, being hands-on. Now, when I did take on the role of, you know, director on the board of directors, I still continue giving because mm-hmm. it makes me feel good, honestly, to know that, you know, if you have some dogs that are waiting to be adopted, that even though I can't adopt them because I already have, you know, dogs in my life right now, that I'm helping to support them finding a new home, or be, you know, through being fed or, you know, and then some of the other initiatives that are happening, the spay and neuter program, for cats, you know, there's just a ton of programs, like just to know that some of the money that I'm giving on a monthly basis is going towards helping these animals when maybe I would love, like I said, when I talked about the Asher House, I would love to set up my own sanctuary and I would love to quit my job and I would love to, you know, start something like that. But I can't. It's not the time and I don't know if it ever would be the time for me to do something like that. But this is a way that I can participate in something like that in the SPCA without actually, you know, doing it, I guess.
Well, and like we mentioned, we are very grateful for it because I think we always get the like that question that like, I can give this much, I can only give $5. I'm like, every little bit helps. Like there's nothing that doesn't help when it comes to us, our work and doing like our motto, like saving lives and creating families. We're all about helping pets, but also their families and staying together. So every single little thing helps.
It definitely does. You know, going through the financials as being on the board, I know that every amount helps. And even if you can't, like you said, if you can't give, you know, $30 a month or $20 a month, even if you can only give $5 a month, or maybe just, you know, for me too, like sometimes you can think about giving something up. I mean, people, you know, they tend to get caught in their routines, and as a financial advisor, you know, a lot of times I talk to clients about budgeting and we look at, you know, what they're spending on a monthly basis, especially as people are moving closer to retirement. And when we really dig down and people are forced to put on paper, you know, what they're spending on a monthly basis, it allows, you know, people to see, you know, where maybe they can find a little bit of extra money. You know, maybe they're eating out a lot. Maybe they're buying a coffee at Tim Hortons every morning. You know, maybe they're spending a lot of extra money on, you know, going to entertainment type events. So you can actually, my dog's barking in the background here.
It is a podcast, so it's only fair.
I mean, even just simply by looking at a monthly budget, like just taking the time to do your monthly budget and say, well, where can I find a little bit of extra money? If you're an animal lover, you know, not everyone's an animal lover and it's not going to be for everyone. But if you are, I just think knowing that you're giving something to help the animals is going to make a huge difference for sure.
Fair enough. That also reminded me that I need to do my monthly budget. you have also included a charitable gift in your will, haven't you?
Yes. Yeah. I have. Yeah.
What inspired this very specific way of giving?
I guess it was really, it goes back to the same thing as the monthly giving for me. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when I leave this earth, you know, what do I want to leave behind? And I guess for me, it's really important that I know that, you know, whatever I have a life insurance policy and that's the way that I did the charitable giving. Mm-hmm. Is that I'm able to know that I'm going to leave something behind when I can no longer make my monthly contribution. And I guess I just wanted to leave this earth knowing that maybe I made it a little bit of a better place And that's really what inspired it.
That is beautiful. I mean, we've been talking about all this gift and all this type of ways to help. And you've also mentioned a few times that you have experience in the financial world. For anyone listening and thinking about making some type of gift to us, what are some of the benefits besides helping adorable furry friends, obviously, that are like would be associated with giving in a lifetime?
Yeah, there are definitely some tax benefits, but it all depends, you know, the way that you structure your giving. So that's going to be specific to each individual, the tax benefits. But I would say that is the main benefit. So, for example, if a business is to give a donation to the SPCA, maybe not through charitable giving, but maybe just, you know, as a local business, a small business, any donations that they give can be considered, you know, for a tax credit. So there is that tax benefit there. And the same with individuals, you know, like my monthly gift to the SPCA, I'm able to receive some tax credit for that every month. So it always helps, you know, with the bottom line. Like if I can pay less money to the government, more money to the SPCA, I mean, that's what I want to do. So why don't I give a monthly gift, you know, and get that tax credit?
That's one way to put it.
You know, the same as with a business. There's a great opportunity to take advantage of the tax credits that you can get by charitable giving. So, and that's, you know, in our everyday life, and just as a financial advisor, that's what I'm always saying to my clients. Everything about financial planning is saving money on tax. So if you can save money on tax and give it to someone else, you know, why wouldn't you do that?
We're not only getting inspired here, but we're learning some things today. Definitely. What would you say to somebody who would like to, who's looking to get involved in the Nova Scotia SPCA? Like, what would your advice be? We've talked so far about obviously like monetary gifts, but also you volunteered, and there are like many, many other ways. But if somebody wouldn't know about us and it's the first time they've heard, what advice would you give them?
Well, what I would say is I think that before you make any kind of connection with the SPCA as far as, you know, helping out, I think it's important for you to think, for that individual to really think of who they are as a person. Because I can tell you for me, you know, one of the reasons that I joined the board is because I have a very sensitive soul, I guess, is what I would say. I find it extremely difficult to hear about cruelty situations. I also get attached to animals very easily. So for me, I knew that, for example, going into the shelter on a regular basis, possibly to walk the dogs or do cat cuddling, might not be the best place for me, because I just knew that I would probably find it very difficult to detach emotionally after I had been there with the animals. And that's just me, because I am very sensitive to that. And, you know, so that is the reason that I chose to take the board route, because I just felt that with my skills too, you know, being a financial advisor, and also with the fact that I'm so sensitive in that respect, I knew that my energies would be maybe better placed on the board versus in the shelter. So just think about who you are as a person, but also think about what are your strengths? Like, what is what you could actually offer? And then try to match that with how the SPCA is looking for people to volunteer. Because they do look for people in all ways. They look for fosters, you know, they look for help in the shelters, they look for financial you know, they look for people on the board. I mean, the list goes on, and you could probably speak to that better than I could. But really understanding what you bring to the table, and then share that with the SPCA, if that's, you know, your choice for volunteering, if you're an animal lover or cat lover, dog lover, whatever.
No, that is great advice. That is great advice, maybe for absolutely everything that we might be doing.
Yeah,
and
that
we're trying to do. And a shameless plug, we do look for volunteers. So if anybody is interested and knows that it's a great opportunity for them, you can visit our website. And well, Kara, I have one last question. It might be the most important and hardest one to answer. Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
That was... See, if it was me, that would have taken a little while to answer.
Exactly. There you go. It is cats or dogs.
Well, there you have it, folks. Another inspiring episode about the fabulous, or shall I say fabulous, community we are a part of. One we are grateful and thankful for. Thank you so much, Kara, for everything that you do for us and for sharing your story with us today and our listeners. We can probably talk all day, but our producer, aka me, tries very hard to stay on track. Before we leave you, listeners, if you haven't done so already, please subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you're listening to us from. Don't forget to give us 5 stars on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and share this episode with our community so other animal lovers can find us. Until next time.